Just before the title of the message in your bulletin is a prayer that many of you are familiar with. It's called the Prayer to the Holy Spirit. This is Pentecost, by the way, which is when we remember and celebrate the birth of the church. Every time a person becomes a Christian is the birth of the church, too. And this morning at first service, Robert Roberts, I want to call him Robert Roberts. Bob Roberts joined the church by a profession of faith and baptism. So actually, we saw the birth of the church again this morning. But this is Pentecost. So I want you to join with me in the prayer to the Holy Spirit if you know it. Go ahead, it's printed as well. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy his consolations through Christ our Lord. Amen. The title of the message today is A Seer's Prophets and a Prophet's Reward. This first half of this year, this church has kind of been looking into spiritual sight. We had Blake Healy here back last weekend or so in January, 1st of February, I can't remember exactly, but he's a seer. And he wrote the book, The Veil, and a lot of you were, how many of you were at that little conference we had here? Okay, well, and he gave us some lessons in terms of that. So those of you who are at that thing, pay attention. Tell me what you see. The other thing that happened in a couple of weeks ago, all the officers of the church met with a couple of people from the ECO, our denomination, and we were envisioning and trying to look at the future of our church, say the next 3 to 5 years, and trying to see the pathway that we are to go on in terms of that. So I guess in some ways this is my addition on to those two events that we've had in terms of the church. Today I want to talk to you about seers and prophets and a prophet's reward and about receiving sight in a different context. Today I want to talk about the sight that God gives to his people, not to heal them so much as to build up, encourage, and comfort the body of Christ. And this sight that God gives to his church, his people, is the gift of prophecy. Now, prophecy is something that is normally think about only about in the Old Testament, but that's just not true. It is a gift to the church, and it happens today, and there are prophets today, just as there were in the days of ancient Israel. For some of us, some of the things that I'm about to say may seem a little bit strange, but if you've been around here for any length of time, you know that we're not normal. So I'll ponder these things as I talk to you today. This is a somewhat of a teaching and an exhortation at the end, and I hope it'll give you some sight in terms of who we are and who you are. So today I want to talk about prophecy and prophets. The Apostle Paul tells us about the gifts of the Holy Spirit to the church, and that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 11, I have it printed, and I'd like for us to read it together. Here we go. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of working, but it is the same God who inspires them all in every one. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are inspired by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Now, as Paul gets done with this, in the scripture, Paul tells about nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. And one of those gifts is the gift of prophecy in this group. He then compares the body of Christ to the human body, if you read on in the Corinthians letter, and how all the parts work together in the body of Christ. Prophecy is the gift of the eye to the body of Christ. It is sight for God's people. Paul goes on in chapter 14, and he says, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy, because he who prophesies speaks to men for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. He who prophesies edifies the church, so the purpose of prophecy is to build up the body of Christ. Prophecy is not just foretelling, as some people believe. It is forthtelling as well. Now, let me tell you what prophecy is and how it works. This is my adjunct to all the stuff that's been going on around it. Most people live forward in time and interpret backwards in time in terms of their lives and the lives of others. So you see, you know, I could see, you know, as I think back on my life, I can see where God was working 5 years ago in this particular setting. And you can think about that stuff and you can look back and you can see where it is. Now, that's how prophets or people that exercise prophecy actually interpret forward in time, and it can involve foretelling sometimes in the future, but it really involves the interpretation of things that are already set in motion and the ability to see the pathway into the future. The best way that I can describe what prophecy is you remember the future. The same way you remember the past, you know, if I were thinking about, okay, when my first child was born, I could see a picture of that time. Now, I don't see everything that's going on around me at that point in time, but I remember the time. And prophecy is remembering the future, seeing a little bit here and there about what's going on. Prophecy and prophets are for the purpose of bringing light to the present time in two basic ways, actually. One is like a light that shows the pathway ahead of you in the dark. You shine a flashlight. The other way that prophecy works is that it lights up the present time, where you might have a camp and you have a light in the camp where we are now bringing the counsel of God to a gathering of believers. Prophecy and prophets are the eyes of the body of Christ, and they bring to light that which is needed to be seen. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount that this about the body, and we are the body of Christ. Read with me Matthew chapter 6, verses 22 and 23. Here we go. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is sound, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is not sound, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? He's talking about the eye is the lamp of the body. So the eye is, if it's sound, you can see very well. In chapter 10 of Matthew, Jesus says another thing. Read with me, 10:40. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. When Jesus says this to his disciples, he is saying that wherever they go and work, it's the same as if he were doing it. So if we are disciples of Jesus, if someone receives you or me in Jesus' name, they are receiving Jesus. And if they are receiving Jesus, they are also receiving Father God, who sent Jesus, who sends us. Then Jesus says a really strange thing. Read with me 10:41, the first half of that verse. Here we go. He who receives a prophet because he is a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Now, what is a prophet's reward? If you receive and welcome a prophet in your household or life, what is it that you receive as part of that hospitality? What is a prophet's reward? Well, the prophet's reward is the gift of the prophet. And if what I have seen in scriptures is true, that when you receive a prophet or someone who exercises the gift of prophecy, you receive their sight. Their ability to see spiritually is your reward. They give you vision. A prophet is a person who sees with God's eyes. A prophet, then, in the body of Christ is like the eye, and the body receives sight, light into it. Just as Jesus said, the eye is the lamp of the body, if that eye is working properly, the whole body is full of light. A prophet's reward is sight or vision. The principle of prophecy is sight or vision. The prophets gave people the gift of sight, the ability to see. There are two examples in the Old Testament that I would like you to see that prove the principle that a prophet's reward is in fact sight. They are both in 2 Kings. They have to do with Elijah the prophet and his servant Elisha, who was about to receive a prophet's reward. Elisha was not yet anointed with prophetic sight. Now, Elijah was about to be taken up into heaven, and he was trying to get, I don't know if he was trying to get rid of his servant Elisha or not, but he was trying to get away from him. And I expect that the reason Elijah was trying to get rid of Elisha was because he knew that his days on the earth were coming to an end. Well, Elisha would not leave the presence of Elijah. In fact, he was somewhat of a pest about the whole thing, and Elijah tried to get rid of him three times. Once on the way to Bethel, the second time was on the road to Jericho, and the third time was on the way to the Jordan River. Finally, Elijah is worn down by this pesky understudy of his, and he says, "All right, what do you want?" And he says, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." Read with me 2 Kings 2:9. Here we go. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "I pray you let me inherit a double share of your spirit." Now, when he asks for a double share of his spirit, basically what he's asking for is the inheritance of the firstborn, which means the passing on of the blessing of the family. So he was asking for the same ability to see, spiritually speaking, that Elijah had. Read with me verse 10. And he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so." Well, they walked on a little farther, and a chariot of fire came and picked up Elijah. It was an Uber. And he went up in a whirlwind. Well, Elijah saw it, and the spirit of Elijah came and rested upon Elisha. And Elisha was anointed with the spirit of prophecy at that point, and he was established in the office of prophet. He had received a prophet's reward. He had received spiritual sight, enabling him to see Elijah being taken away. And a prophet's reward is spiritual sight. The second story concerns Elisha and his servant in the 6th chapter of 2 Kings. Once when the king of Syria was warring against Israel, he kept being beaten by the king of Israel because it was as if somebody was out there always warning the king of Israel about what the king of Syria was going to do next. And the king of Syria found out that it was Elisha the prophet who was informing the king of Israel prophetically about the Syrian armies. And this hacked off the king of Syria, and he sent a small army to catch and kill Elisha in Dothan. That's not Georgia. They surrounded the city, and in the morning, Elisha's servant went outside, and he saw this army just surrounding them, and he runs back in, and Elisha's sitting there eating bacon and eggs and drinking coffee and stuff, and he's in a panic, and he says, "Help, what are we going to do?" And Elisha said, "Don't panic." And then Elisha prays that his servant would be able to see in the spiritual realm. And you heard Lori up here, and she read that particular scripture to you, but I would like for us to read it together. It's chapter 6, verses 15 to 17. Here we go. When the servant of man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was round about the city. And the servant said, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" He said, "Fear not, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then Elijah prayed and said, "O Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. The servant's eyes were opened spiritually, and he looks around the city behind the army, and there are chariots of fire that are surrounding the army of Syria. The servant received the prophet's reward. He was given sight into the true nature of the situation. Then Elijah prays again that the people in the army would be struck blind, and they are. Read with me 2 Kings 6:18. And when the Syrians came down against him, Elijah prayed to the Lord and said, "Strike this people, I pray thee, with blindness." So he struck them with blindness in accordance with the prayer of Elijah. Now, since they're blind, they don't know who he is, and he leads them to a city in Samaria where they are taken captive. Elisha then prays that they would receive their sight back, and their eyes are open. They're able to see again. Read with me verse 20. As soon as they entered Samaria, Elijah said, "O Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see." So the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and lo, they were in the midst of Samaria. Now, when you deal with prophets, you're always dealing with sight. There is story after story in the Bible, excuse me, about prophets. And in most of those stories, it has to do with sight. The ability to see, not just in the physical realm, but also in the spiritual realm. The prophet is the eye of the body. The Apostle Paul writes several times about prophets in the body of Christ and in the New Testament. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, he talks about prophets, about the gifts of office that are given to the church through Jesus. Read with me Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. And his gifts were that some should be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Now, the term prophet means speaker in Hebrew. So let me speak to you about prophets for a few minutes, and a few of them by name. The prophets that we have pictures of in the Old Testament were usually nerve-wracking to have around. Elijah was called that troubler by King Ahab, and Elijah proved Ahab's point by throwing the name back into his face. A prophet is nerve-wracking to have around because they have the audacity to speak for the Lord and Creator of the universe. They are always stirring the pot. They always move the furniture. They cut through all the garbage and they get to the point, and they have a tendency to make people mad at times. No prophet is on record of ever asking for the job except for Elisha. Most of the prophets went a little bit mad before they were through. That is, if they weren't a little bit mad to begin with. They had a certain amount of insanity that seemed to go with it. They just weren't normal. Prophets seemed to always be in a quarrel with the world. And deep down, it was a lover's quarrel, in effect. If they didn't love the world, they probably wouldn't bother to tell it that it's going to hell. They just let it go. Their quarrel is God's quarrel. Their complaint is God's complaint. They are speakers. They speak for God. Overall, though, their common trait was the ability to see with the eyes of God, and they had visions and dreams which they used to reveal the hidden purposes of God. One day, Jeremiah sees an almond tree in early bloom, and to anybody else, it's simply a flowering tree, a sign of spring. Well, Jeremiah catches a deeper signal. The Hebrew word for almond tree is shached, which is very similar to another word, shoked, which means watching. And the almond tree reminds Jeremiah that God is on the watch. He's alert. He's ready to carry out his purpose. Another time, Jeremiah showed a clay pot to a crowd of Judean people in the city, and then he told them, he says, "You see this pot? This represents our country." And then he took it and he smashed it to smithereens, and he told them, "This is a short visual version of what God has in mind to do to you guys." He was right, but he didn't make a whole lot of good points that day for himself. One day, Amos walked down the road to Bethel, and a roadside stand was selling some day-old fruit and vegetables, and something inside of him said, "Amos, old buddy, what do you see?" And he says, "I see a bunch of overripe fruit." And in that instant, the inner light flashed on in terms of his spiritual sight and his eyes, and he knew that the overripe fruit was a picture of his country, and that the end was upon them because their fruit was going rotten. Now, I can go on. There's all kinds of images and pictures of the prophets that show up the basic principle of prophets and prophecy, which is sight, vision. But I hope I've shown you enough of those pictures to be able to see what the eye of the body of Christ is like. In Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, is a particular version. I would like for you to read this with me. "Where there is no vision, the people perish." I have this above. If you ever come to my office and you walk in the place, if you look up, this is what you see. It says, "Lead with vision." Where there is no vision, the people perish. That is, if they're blind, they don't know where they're going. When Jesus says, if you receive a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward, that reward is vision. The principle of prophecy is vision, God's vision. The prophets were called seers. They saw the ways of the Lord. They saw his purpose. They could see. Prophecy and prophets are still in the church today. Prophets and prophecy are for building up the body of Christ. Prophecy is a gift of the Spirit. Prophecy is given to us, but God does not force us to speak. He will reveal something, but he never forces anyone to say anything. Prophetic vision is received sight. Now, prophecy is not just hearing the truth that we already know. Prophecy is the Lord in an instant of time revealing to our minds a truth that we may know for quite some time, but it is to be revealed to the body of Christ at an appropriate moment or a time. It is a direction implemented by faith. Prophecy is still for the church today. And the best description of how we receive prophetic sight is in the prophet Joel, chapters 2 to 28 and 29, which, by the way, is quoted in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. And I'd like for us to read it together. Here we go. "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. even upon the manservants and maidservants in those days, I will pour out my spirit. Prophecy comes through pictures that come to our mind and scripture that leaps into our mind. It cannot be forced or manipulated. Prophecy is not a learned talent. Prophecy is not just a personal observation either. It is to be judged by the assembly of people. Prophecy has to be judged as to whether or not it builds up the body of Christ. Prophecy transcends our intellectual abilities to make it happen. It is released to us, and we ask the question, is it for the upbuilding of the entire body, or is it just for me? The Lord gave me a prophetic vision of what my ministry is all about back in 1979. That vision was embodied in the words of Habakkuk, the prophet. And these are the words which became God's word to me. If you would read with me Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Here we go. I will take my stand to watch and station myself on the tower and look forth to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain upon tablets, so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Behold, he whose soul is not upright in him shall fail, but the righteous shall live by their faith. Now that came to me. I didn't write it on tablets. I wrote it in manuals. And some of you have been running with that stuff. Doug Wilbur ran with it just this spring. God told me to go and speak for me, and they shall hear you and receive you. You're to carry that vision. By the way, this is for you. You are a lampstand church. You are a lampstand church for people around this community, for our new denomination, the Evangelical Covenant Order of Presbyterians. You are a lampstand for my people here in this community. Now, I have this lamp. We use this lamp for the awakening, which comes out of the third chapter of 1 Samuel. And I don't know if you noticed it or not, sitting up here or not, because when it's on the floor, it doesn't shine its light the same way as when you put it on a stand. When you put it on a stand, it'll light up the whole room. But if it's down on the floor, it's kind of quiet down there. That light is quiet. It just covers the ground that's right around it. This is a physical picture of a spiritual reality about who we are as a church. When you put that light up on a stand, now the stand is not the light. It holds the light. And as long as the eye is the lamp of the body, you are the lampstand of the body. The eye is the lamp sitting on you. This is the gift that God gave to us. He also gave us in terms of our work, you might say. Now, there's a warning that goes with this, church. If your eye is not sound, your whole body will be full of darkness. So we need to make sure that we keep our vision as truth. If the light in you becomes darkness, then you don't shine anymore. You do not hold up the light. Now, I would like for anyone who would like to receive a prophet's reward to please stand only if you want it. I want to pray for us as a church, and I want to pray for us as individuals. Lord, I ask that you would give us sight as a congregation. Grant us vision that there be healing and wholeness and a setting of your light and direction in us, and that the name that we carry would be real. That we would receive vision as to our destiny and purpose and our identity in this community as a lampstand church and also as a lampstand church in our new denominational family. In our life, Lord, we could give place for you to come and do your work. And whether it's an individual thing or whether it's as a group, that you would dig away some of the clutter, some of the rubble, some of the soil of our own ways. And that as the years go by, that you would begin to pour in that which makes solid ground in our foundation so that we can keep the light up off the ground. And Lord, I offer this personal prayer for those who truly wish a prophet's reward. If there be one here or many here, Lord God Creator, let them receive the anointing of your Spirit on this day of Pentecost and give them sight. And I ask that in Jesus' name. As it is spoken, so let the word come into being. Amen.